To talk about today's shiur, we'll do a little bit of a survey on the concept of kavod. Of course, our midah is kavod, and now during Sefirat HaOmer, the main focus of the Omer time period is tikkun hamidot, improvement of midot. And of all the midot, of course, the midah of kavod, of respect, is the most important to work on now, because the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, as we spoke about last time, passed away because of a lack of kavod zebazeh. So of all the midot, this is one to really spend a lot of time and attention on. I'll just start with an anecdote. I told an anecdote last time, but first also a Dvar Torah from the Parsha. We have a double header this week. We have Bahar and Bechukotai. And Parshat Bahar begins with Shemitah. And one of the interesting things about Shemitah is that since the land lies fallow and there is no ownership of the land, the Aniyim and Ashirim, both the poor and the wealthy, are able to come into the field and equally take from the produce of the field. So that one of the reasons for this is that the poor will not be embarrassed, because nobody will know who's poor and who's wealthy, because everybody's coming in together. So there's a desire to be makpid on the kavod of the aniyim. That's part of what's behind that mitzvah. There are many examples. I'm constantly coming across examples of kavod, of honor and respect, but just a little anecdote. A number of years ago, I was in someone's house, and I was using a very fine crystal glass. We were all using it, and the table was marble. And I thought was gently put the glass down on the table, and the crystal glass, which probably was, I don't know, $40, $50, cracked right in half on the stem. Was so thin, it was like paper thin. I was mortified. It was about 25 years ago, but I was mortified. I was ready to hide under the table. 5 minutes later, Balabas, takes a glass and does the exact same thing. In retrospect, 25 years later, I think that maybe it was on purpose so that I shouldn't feel bad, which is quite remarkable. It fits in with the story I told last week about the radish. Those of you who were here with the Rebbe and the radish, somebody came in and was chomping on the radish and made noise, and the Rebbe didn't want him to feel. The Hasidim got mad at the guy who was doing that, and the Rebbe came in and he did the same thing. It's in order not to embarrass the person. So there are so many different ways that we have, and it's very easy to miss this. I'm sure I missed it so many times, but to be makpid on the kavod of other people. Kavod, respect or honor, is a huge topic, a very broad topic. It's covered in so many different areas. We're not going to cover every area, but I'd like to just maybe do a little survey of some areas of kavod, just to give us a better idea of the breadth of this subject even, and to perhaps increase our sensitivity, how many different areas it covers. So without looking, other than the first page, which says right on it, what areas of kavod in halacha can you think of? Kurt, to you, just off the top of your head. We mentioned a couple last time, but anybody want to suggest? So kavod for animals? Okay, good. That could be a kavod for animals. That's good. I wasn't thinking of talking about that one. That's a good one. Yep.
Like
kavod abriyot in general, if you include briyot as beings, which might include animals as well. So kavod abriyot would be, usually it's people, but it could also be animals too. Okay. Any other area?
Yeah, when you stand when someone comes in the room, a Rebbe.
Okay, so a Rebbe for a Rebbe. Okay. Okay, there's also for animals. That's also, okay. So you have animals, that's true. That's also an union of kavod for Kadosh Baruch Hu's creations.
Well, it's also the idea that you should treat your servants better than your...
very good.
Better, but on the equal level that you treat yourself.
Okay, good. So people who are in less whatever social status than that's good. Okay, then the more obvious ones, which we mentioned last time, everybody said kibud av v'aim, of course, right? Kibud rav is one of the more obvious ones. Also, we mentioned today. Okay, so kavod haTorah, very good. Okay, there are some more. If you think about it, how about also? It says in the Aseret HaDibrot, you have to have. Besides kavod et avicha ve't imecha, it says zachor and shamor yom haShabbat, but it says in Yeshayahu you have to have kavod also for Shabbos. Shabbos, kavod yantiv. I'm not going to tell you all the others. Some of them you mentioned, and others we'll see here. And as we go through a little bit of a quick survey of different areas of kavod, think about, is there one underlying theme in all of these areas? Okay, is there one underlying theme that is the motivation or reason behind all of the areas of kavod? Where do they all have a common source? Okay, so the first one is perhaps the most obvious one, which most people would come up with, is kibud av v'aim, respect for parents. And if you look on the first page here, it says mitzvah at the beginning, mitzvah Habein Chaberet Aviv Yat Imo. The child has to give kavod for his or her parents. And if you look at the paragraph 1, you see right after, this is, as you see, this is right on the bottom, this is the Encyclopedia Talmudit, which was edited by Rav Zevin, Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, a big Talmud Chacham, huge Talmud Chacham, and this is a project, he's no longer alive, the project still goes on. I think it's what is up to Chav Zayin, Kav Chet, and there's quite a number of volumes to go. I first was introduced by this, by my Rebbe, Rabbi Sam Gnauer, Alav HaShalom. I was very fond of Rav Zevin, as well as of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. It's a really fascinating work. And here you see, you have a list of the different components. So this is a many-page encyclopedia article, and I just took a section of each one of these. So you see, right after the outline, where it says HaPrakim, first, the way it works here, just if you look at the for Kibud Av V'Em, the type is the definition, right? Like mitzvah habein lechabed aviv et imo. It's the mitzvah of the son of the child to give kavod for his or her parents. Then it gives the chapters, okay, that in this article. And then here's the chapter 1 aleph. You see that hamitzvah gidra, the mitzvah and its definition, goes into more detail. So it says in the Asarat HaDibrot, kabed avicha et imecha, and he gives the sources on the bottom. He mitzvah taseh. It's a positive commandment. Shechaber adam et aviv yat imo, a person should give honor, respect to his father and his mother. V'nimneit b'minyan ha-mitzvot, and it's counted amongst the mitzvot. It's one of the tarayag mitzvot, kibud av v'em. Okay, v'mitzvah gedola, it is a big mitzvah, important mitzvah. Okay, says that's from the Rambam says that chamura shebechamurot is the most stringent of the most stringent. V'tzarich lizaher ba'me'od, and one has to be very, very careful about it. Says the Torah in Shulchan Aruch. We find that the pasuk, the psukim, compare honor and respect for one's parents with honor and respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'chein b'din shiyukash kvodam lekvodo, and it makes sense that the kavod of Hashem should be connected to the kavod of Hashem, of the parents and the Hashem. Sharei shaloshtam shutafim ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ve'aviv imo. A very famous Gemara in Kiddushin. The Shlosh HaShutfim Ba'adam, there are three partners in the creation of a person, father, the mother, and God. So if you have a partnership, it sounds like from the Gemara, on some level, it's almost an equal partnership. Okay? It's almost an equal partnership. Okay, I don't know if we have any, maybe the Chiddush people hadn't heard the term, that it's called Chamura Shebechamurot. It's the most stringent of the most stringent. And God is almost an equal partner here with the parents, the creation of the person, and therefore it makes sense that you have kavod to Hashem, you have kavod to the father and the mother. If you look on the second column on the left, it's actually, if you'll note, it's listed as a second page. Each column is a separate page. Shin Ayin Lif in the top right, and Shin Ayin Bet in the top left. So if you go down, I have an arrow there, right? You see the arrow? Okay. It says, V'yeshmi harishonim. Some of the Rishonim say, "Shekatvu shemorel hu me'amitzvot atzliyot balev." As we know, I skipped a little bit. There's a mitzvah also in Parsha Kedoshim, "Ishimo be'aviv tirao," to fear parents. There's a mitzvah of kibud and a mitzvah of yira, of mora. And the Gemara in Kedushin goes into very clear definitions: what is included in kavod and what's included in mora. Right? Not to sit in the parent's seat is mora. Okay, to bring a parent, to serve the parent generally. Bring them water, bring them something, their coat. That's kavod. It's interesting, in today's society, you think about both of these are in many ways very strange to people. They seem, if you tell a secular person, you know, you really, maybe they understand, you know, if your father or mother asks you to bring them a cup of water and they're very elderly, so people will understand, yeah, you should do it. But what if they're not elderly? What if, you know, what if the parent is perfectly healthy? Maybe you're teaching your child to be a slave? No. This is, a child should want to do this, and if it's done properly, the child should, it's okay for a child to bring the parent something, bring them their coat, bring them whatever, and this is a mitzvah. The child gets a mitzvah by some of the rabbis here, well, all the rabbis, I think, and some, the kids will bring papers for them, they'll do an errand, whatever, and they get a mitzvah, kibud rav. So also a child can do for the parent does for the child too, constantly. The parent does for the child without asking on a non-stop basis, 24/7, 365 days a year. Right? But it's a good thing for the child to get used to. We shouldn't do it to, you know, a makpid on my kavod. It has to be done in the right way. But when the child does things for the parent, my son gets in, we come to shul, he gets out the siddurim, he brings me the siddurim. It's a good thing. I think he learned maybe in DRS, also this, whatever, he came to him. It's a good thing. And not to sit in the parent's seat is something which seems very strange in today's society. You know, a parent can be mochel on that. But it's a thing for a child to feel that, you know, there's certain things. You have to treat the parents with dignity. You have to stand up for the parent. It's you know, these are things that are almost lost in today's society, and the results, the consequences of it being completely lost are very dire, where there's a lack of respect in generations. Okay, anyhow, some of the Rishonim explain that Mora is a mitzvah which is in the heart more. Kibud hum mitzvah tliyot baguf, and kibud is more with doing physical things. Shakibud hum b'mase im b'poal, like bringing the water, it's doing something. It's the fear or the, you know, showing extra level of dignity to the parent, not contradicting them is also part of mara. Some explain, even kavod is in the heart, that's the main part. But it also manifests itself in speech and in action. But the mara is more of a feeling of the heart. But kibud has physical action as well as in the heart. Ha'over al kibud avayim, that's the abbreviation kibud avayim, bitel mitzvah aseh. They've been mevatel, they have missed out on, or they've not fulfilled this mitzvah. Ve'onsho gadol ma'od, and it's a very serious consequence. Shinaseh kimitnaker laviv shebashamayim. Because if a person is not properly fulfilling this mitzvah, they become like a foreigner to their God and to their Father in heaven. In other words, ve'amru, in Kibaratem, it says in the pasuk, in Kibaratem the man yarichun yamecha bimlav the mani katsron. Just like if a person does kibud avayim, they will live a long time. It's one of the few mitzvot. It says matan tzchara b'tzida, that it mentions the reward of arichut yamim b'shanim. The opposite is rachman al son, also true. And what does the man yarichun yamecha mean? So the Gemara and the Medrash talk about also it means ultimately olam haba. But okay. Could be pshuto kemashma, but also it refers to the olam shekulo aroch, a world which is has no end, and that's olam haba. So there are countless pages, and there are many books written on the topic of kibud avayim, and there's many shulchan aruch. We've really just scratched the surface because this is supposed to be a survey. But I'd like to just what do you think is the underlying basis for the requirement for kibud avayim? So we've only seen. We haven't seen all the aspects of it. But some say it's either, we've mentioned, some say there's another possibility is hakarat hatov. Your parents gave birth to your parents, right? It's a matter of appreciation. So some people explain, the main motivation is appreciation. The other one we saw here, what is the basis for being required to mechabed your parents? What is the basis? Because your parents they're like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have a requirement to mechaber Hashem, and God is a partner in the relationship. So it could be hakarat hatov, which, by the way, was one of our other three midot in the yeshiva this year, right? Or it could be the basis is on a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to give kavod to your parents. So that's just one, and there's so much to talk about kibud avayim. But I'm trying to give a survey to compare the various areas of kavod. Just a very general outline. You turn the page, you look at some of them, I think, are upside down. Sorry about that. You have, by the way, if you look on the page, you see Taf Ayin Zayin. You see that in the upper right-hand corner? Okay. So that is, you see one a small entry, which a lot of the older students in our school particularly like. It says, Kibud Ach Gadol. Giving kavod to your older brother. And the Gemara is marbe, includes the older sibling from the et, kabeid et avicha v'etimecha, the rabot v'chicha gadol. Sometimes the older child has a greater level of responsibility in the house, and almost in some situations acts almost as a surrogate parent. But there is an inyan of giving kavod to an older sibling, and perhaps that kavod may even derive from the kavod of the parents. I mentioned that's another area of kavod. The next one, which was mentioned here, so a couple of you mentioned a few minutes ago, Kivod HaBriot, which is a fascinating halachic category, and it's not so simple what's included in this. But the definition of Kvodo Shel Adam giving kavod to the Baruch Hu Sheyifga b'Torat Tam Litchot b'Glalo Kiyum Mitzvah Olavor Al Isur. Okay, to for a variety, if a person is person's kavod cannot be violated, and pushing aside fulfilling a mitzvah or being over on an isur in some situations is permitted mipnei kavod habriyah, because of a need for giving honor, respect, and dignity to a person. It's a very complex halacha category what kavod habriyah is. If you look just at the end of the first paragraph after the table of contents there, the last line, I think I have an arrow there, right? Gadol kavod habriyah shedochet lo taseh shabbat Torah. Great is kavod habriyah because it pushes aside sometimes a lo taseh in the Torah. We'll give an example, just stay tuned. But if you look in the footnote on the bottom, number 3, the Me'iri writes, towards the end of that line after footnote 3, Kivod HaBriyot Chaviv Ad Ma'od, it's very beloved. Ein Lechamida Chaviv HaMimenu. Okay? There is nothing, no Mida which is more beloved than giving honor and respect and dignity to another human being. In the next paragraph, you see there's an arrow there also, Tzarich Adam Nihizaher B'Kivod HaBriyot. Person has to be very careful. The katua achronu shemitzvahi, it's a mitzvah. We also know levayisham alibzotam. This is what we started our shiur with today, not to be mevayish a person. We spoke about the aniyim in the field on Shemitah. We spoke about the radish story. We spoke about the glass story. That's the idea of kavod, and several of you mentioned kavod abriyot, right? You can't embarrass them or treat them lightly. Vishaninu shechayav adam lachlo kavod l'chavir. A person has to give kavod to his friend. We have, as it says in Be'avot, yikvod chavircha, chaviv alecha kesholcha, or kesholach. The kavod of your friend should be as beloved to you as your own. Shekashem shadam ro'et kavodo, as just as a person is concerned with dignity, kach yehi ro'et kavod chaviro, you should also look at the other person's dignity in the same way. Kashem she'en adam rotzeh she'yitzeh shem ra'al kavodo, person doesn't want to get a bad reputation, kach yehi adam rotzeh she'at the top of the next column, she'lo lehotzi shem ra'al kavodo shel chaviro, a person also should not want to bring a bad name on his friend. Here, listen very carefully to this part. So what is the makor for giving honor and respect to your friends? What is the makor? So I'm... V'katvur yishonim shebichlal ha-mitzvah shel ahavat Yisrael. It's part of the mitzvah of loving your fellow Jew. V'nhog kavod b'chol echad v'yachad m'Yisrael k'mo shirotzeh v'kvar atzmo. That he should love every Jew as he loves himself. So some people say it derives from kavod, ahavat Yisrael. This is one of those things for which a person can get a chelik in Olam Haba, having proper respect and honor and dignity towards a fellow Jew. V'chein katvu ha-rishonim, sha'afilu dayan, even a judge in a court case, sheyesh lo lehaniv shelivzot ha-tarayum nekach, even you have to meet, this is one, I thought this was just such a powerful example. A judge who has to exact punishment on a defendant, whatever the punishment may be. Nonetheless, lo yihye kvod habriyot kal be'enav. He has to, sometimes is bror lo mita yafa. Even the way in which, if the person is even chas v'shalom sentenced to the death penalty, they have to make the right choice too. So kvod habriyot can apply in the most exalted, beautiful situations. It can apply on a daily basis in your regular life. Or it can apply even in the worst of all situations. Even if a judge, you're getting down to the lowest common denominator in society, where a person is worthy of the death penalty even, or a judge has to mete out punishment, they still have to have the dignity, respect, and honor of the person who's supposed to be punished. Even the way how much, if the person's body has to be uncovered, how much of the body has to be uncovered. How, you know, these are things, every detail, death penalties, arba mitot beitin, does the person get? It has to be precise and exact. You think, it sounds crazy. What's the difference? The person's going to die. So the answer is, in the worst possible scenarios, even there, or maybe dafka there, in order to maintain perhaps the humanity of the judge, they have to be makpid on kavod habriyah. Okay, unbelievable. Sharehu dochet lo taseh shel divrayim, next to footnote number 10 on the top. It pushes aside even an isur de rabbanan. V'choshekein kvod b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov machzikim b'dat ha'emet v'yezoyer shol yares kvodam el kedei lahosif b'kvod ha'makom milvad. That you have to be careful about the kvod of your fellow Jew, and what is the basis according to this opinion? I underlined this in, did I underline in yours? You have it there. I have Ela Kidei Lahosif Bikvod HaMakom Bilvad. I read that again. Ela Kidei Lahosif Bikvod HaMakom Bilvad. To add to the Kavod of Hashem. Okay, we're starting to see a pattern here a little bit. Add to the Kavod. Kavod HaBriot, Kavod Avat Yisrael, whatever. To add to the Kavod of Hashem. When you teach, remember it says, when you hang a person, Rachman Litzlan, I go back to that situation, you can't leave them on hanging too long. Because the person is created B'Tzelem Elokim, and if they're left out, it's not dignified, it's a lack of Kavod HaBriot. Because this is a person that is created in God's image. I'll just give you one example. In halacha, we can give about 100 examples, but if you look to the next paragraph, let's give a very example. I don't know if this would have occurred to everybody, so I thought I would come up with an example that might be a little bit of a chiddush. Okay, the common mitzvot v'dinim darshu b'hem shetama mishum kavod abriyot kigon chazara min al-mechama. And again, I also thought of this situation as a good one to talk about, because it's talking about, you know, in war, for example, people can become, as we hear about stories coming back from Iraq, right, and about the guy yesterday, right, a guy came back from Iraq. He's used to killing people. And it's like a strain on the soldiers is beyond belief. It's unbelievable. They see death and dying and killing every day. And this has been going on as long as humanity. And people, war is horrible, horrible, horrible. And people can lose their humanity in a split second. And you think of World War I, the people were in these ditches with the rats and whatever. They were sitting there for days, weeks, months at a time. You imagine what kind of life that is. But every war in history has, in it, there have been situations where people have lost their humanity. And which is like yesterday's newspaper. The guy comes home and he shoots, kills a bunch of people. So Dafka, in horrible situations, the Torah addresses this and tries to give us mitzvot in order to preserve our humanity and our dignity and our own kavod. Chazar, and we'll talk about it maybe at the end, I don't know if we'll get up to today, but the concept of kavod atzmi, personal dignity. Right, chazara min al-milchama. Shamu b'chachomim ba'ure'ei kama chas ha-makom al-kavod ha-briyot. Come and see how much does the Torah makpid care about the dignity of the person, the honor and respect of a person. Sheha'yarei b'rach alivav chozer min al-milchama. The one who is fearful and of faint heart returns from the war and doesn't go out to fight. They're allowed to return. And they say they're worried about their averas that they did. Rashi brings down the Medrash. But they're for whatever reason, let's assume it's for the averas, they're scared to go out and fight. And they can go back. That's one of those categories that can return, Miarchei HaMilchama, from going out to battle, is a person who's Yarei and Rach Levav. He's scared about fighting. Other people go back also. Who else goes back? Person who got married, just got married, and he didn't live with his wife yet. Person who just built a house, didn't live in it yet, didn't dedicate it yet. Right? A person, Kerem, just started a vineyard and didn't yet use it either. So in all these cases, the person can return from Archei HaMilchama. The person who is Chlevav is going to be, it's almost identical to what I started this year with about Shemitah, right? The poor people go back with the wealthy, can go into the field with the wealthy people to collect on Shemitah. Nobody knows who's the poor person. Here also, the Yarei Barach Chlevav goes back Milchama together with the person who just got married, the person who just built a house, and the person who just planted a vineyard. Nobody knows who the Yarei Barach Chlevav is, because maybe he got married, maybe he just planted a vineyard, maybe he built a house. So we preserve the dignity of the person. Nobody knows who's who. Also, by the Korban Chatat and Asham, they're brought in the same place. Also, the same idea that the Gemara expresses. The idea is not to embarrass the person, to preserve their dignity. And one more, which people may be familiar with, but may not have thought of that in this particular context, a very interesting one, Dinei Nezikin. You skip to right after foot in the top, footnote 17, you see it says, V'chein chiyuv tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Person who pays four or five times if they steal a seh or a lamb or a sheep or a cow, and then they shecht it or they sell it. So for the sheep you have to pay four times, and for the ox you have to pay five times. So there are different reasons why is this. So Rashi brings down different reasons. One of the reasons is the person who stole the sheep had to put it on their shoulder, and they suffered the indignity of being seen carrying a sheep on their shoulder, which in itself was an embarrassing experience. Whereas the ox, they just walk normally, then the ox follows along. So it's not such an... So the person who stole the sheep, the person who stole the sheep, were worried about their dignity was already compromised a little bit. And therefore they only have to pay four and not five. Because they've already lost a little bit because their dignity lost. It's a remarkable thing. The person's a goslin, even a robber, a thief, whatever. Maybe Dafka, the goslin, because their humanity is already compromised by their behavior. The soldier who's out in the war, their dignity is already being challenged on a daily basis. They're killing people, right? It's Rahman al-Islam. So they can lose their humanity in a split second. It's perhaps Dafka, the person who's being brought out to be killed, has to judge that person. He's already, you know, they're being put in the role of Hashem, almost, as it were, to decide life or death. They can lose their humanity, they can lose their honor and dignity in a second. So dafka, in these cases, the Torah is makbid on kavod abriyot, and the person is chozer miyorchei hamilchama, and the person has a lesser fine because he's already had his dignity compromised. So this is really a fascinating thing. And there's... but if you remember, it comes from the one, which line did I emphasize in particular of all the other lines in this text? Kidei lahosif b'chvod hamakom bilvad. Ultimately stems from Kavod HaMakom. Okay, so far we've seen that in regard to Kibud HaVaim, and we've seen it in regard to Kibud Kavod HaBriyot, both situations. Here's one, I wonder, nobody mentioned it today, and I've mentioned the topic to a few different groups, and this was not the first thing that people thought of. People don't like to think about it, people don't like to talk about it, and so it's probably people push it out of their mind. But it's also extremely, extremely important. Turning the page, Kivod Hamet, the dignity and respect to the deceased. And having this week gone to several Shiva houses, you know, it's on my mind a lot. And we all know the concept of Chesed Shelemet is the truthful, the greatest level of Chesed is giving to a person who cannot give back, and that's the deceased. I just sat next to last night at the Shiva, Rabbi Zone, who was in charge of the Chevra Kaddisha in Queens. So, and the Nifter, it was a person who worked on the Chevra Kaddisha. And so the mitzvot that person did in working on the Chevra Kaddisha is constantly, every day, is working on Chesed Shel Emet, which is just remarkable. And this is very important. Achiyuv linhog kavod ba'adam acharei moto, to give dignity and respect to a person after they passed away. And also, to be careful that they shouldn't be treated in a non-fashion. Okay, after the introduction. Part of having kavod for the person is chiyuv miuchad, but there's a special obligation in hog kavod ba'adam acharei moto, after the person has passed away. Both in the positive, there's a whole bunch of things in the Chevra Kaddisha. Anybody who's worked on the Chevra knows the requirements. You know that you have to do specific. There are certain minhagim: how the body is dressed, how the body is undressed, how the water is poured on. There are all kinds of minhagim. It is not just, you know, like people think it's like hocus pocus. You know, they're going to get away the spirits. No, it has to do with if you have a certain protocol. A certain dignity that's afforded to each person gets that protocol, that is mosif in the positive side, kavod hamet. So that's in terms of there are certain customs, the way you treat the person, and that in the positive sense, how you perform a tahara, right? That's in the positive sense. For example, how you bury, how you walk to the kever, you stop, or you know all these things, how you make an aron for the person. Also in the negative, not to treat it with a lack of dignity, right? It's considered right if a person in the war they're killed and they're not a whole person. You have to go. They collect the blood. We all know this. Okay, I'm not going to harp on this because I know people. It's very disturbing, but it's important. B'mitzvot dinam, and I just want a little further. The next paragraph, b'mitzvot dinam minhagim, mitzvot regarding kavod hamet. Laws and customs. Mi shemeito mutal defanav, haynu shemeito echad min hakrovim shu chayav litabel lehem, v'nikra onen. So that is where this begins. When a person is an onen rachman al son, meitol mutal lefanav, that's the name, the perek and brachot begins that way. That's what an onen is, a meitol lefanav. The primary obligation of kavod hameit is upon that person, and therefore that person is exempt. Mikol mitzvah murapatara. The person is exempt. They're not surim, right? But they're exempt from all positive commandments because there's a mate mitzvah. The mate mitzvah is mutal on the person who is the onen. That's the first. And if once you know they do it themselves or they give it over to someone else and make sure that every detail is taken care of. And then the details are very, very important. Every time I learn those words, I read those words, I think about meitol mutal lefanav, and how many times, you know, what that really means is my Rebbe's brother, about 50 years ago or so, was sitting and learning this Mishnah in Bnei Brak, in Eretz Yisrael, Misha meitol mutal lefanav, and an Arab came in and shot him. And he was nifter on the daf, on this Mishnah. So every time I read those words, I think about that. And what it means, you know, to have, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, when you're dealing with all these different groups that help after terrorist attacks, and what, you know, how we maintain the dignity of the Niftar is just such a powerful and important thing. And Kavod HaMeit, again, is, you know, to the extent, we all know the concept of Meit Mitzvah, in Shein Lo Kovrim, if everything else gets dropped, even if you're not related to the person, if there's a body somewhere, and nobody's taking care of it, you drop everything and you take care of it. So this it stems from Kavod HaBriyot, and this too also stems from, I mentioned before, the pasuk Kilalat Elokim Taloi, that God, the person, is created in Tzelem Elokim, and the goof is the nartek, or whatever, it's the holder for the neshama, and the person is created in Tzelem Elokim. And so there's this unbelievable obligation to treat every person with dignity, bein mechayim, bein achar mita. By the way, kibud avayim also, the Gemara talks about, is applying also after one parent passes away, rachmanah litzlan. Okay, let's go to that a little bit depressing topic, and let's go to something more positive, upbeat. Kavod hatzibor. Okay? Kavod hatzibor. We heard about that one. Tzibor, right? You have to have respect for the community and for the kihila. So it says over there on the left side, Chovat hazihirut b'kvod tzibor shel mitpalalim. You have to have kavod for a group of people that's davening. O tzibor shel osei mitzvah. Or, I don't know if we thought about this, but if a community is doing a mitzvah, they're also treated as a tzibor in the same way as if they're davening. It's not just during davening. So if everybody's going out to do birkat hachama on the boardwalk, I'm just thinking, we're sitting right next to the boardwalk, everybody's going out to to try to save their fellow Jews, pidyon shvuim, whatever. There's in addition to everything else, there's a mitzvah, the tzibor that's going to do a mitzvah. It's by tefillah and by other mitzvot as well. All right, and he says kama halachot besidrei beit hakneset v'kriyat hatorah nitkenu b'nei kavod hatzibor. Now let's talk, there are a whole bunch of halachot that apply to learning, reading the Torah, and to davening, and for how you set up a shul, have to stem from the chiyuv of kavod hatzibor. O eimat tzibor, or the fear of the tzibor, similar to what we have by kibud avayim, we have kavod and mora. You have kavod and yira here as well. Okay, the amru leolam teimat tzibor alecha. You should always have the fear of the community upon you. Sharei kohanim b'shat nesiyah kapayim pneim klapei am echorim klapei hashchina. The kohanim are even allowed to turn their back on Hashem and they're facing the people. So you see, you have to have great kavod for a tzibor. A tzibor, Hashem allows you to turn your back on him, kavod yochal, and to face the tzibor. V'ne'amar, and it also says, v'yakam David ha-melech ha-raglav, v'yomer shimuni na achai v'ami. King of Israel, David ha-melech, gets up on his feet and he says, listen to me, my brothers and my people. So what do you see from that? So it's a couple of things. Sharei, sha'amar ha-melech ha-raglav, v'nei kavod ha-tzibor. The king, the highest official in the land, stood up out of respect for the community, for Klal Yisrael. So the king, who is the number one person, right? He has all the cover. He gets up out of kavod hatzibor. So David HaMelech stood up for the community. It's beautiful. This is from Divrei HaYamim, in case you didn't know the pasuk by heart. I don't know too many people know Divrei HaYamim by heart, so it's on the footnote on the bottom. Okay, the David HaMelech got it. We also say Vayakam David HaMelech. Okay, so or possibility number two, if you notice, what did he call the people? He called the people equal level his brothers and his friends. Because when you're, you know, any speaker gets up, you have all these people out there. So maybe if you have one-on-one with this person, you're not afraid. You know, you have a 200, 500, 1,000 people standing in front of you. There's their fear of public speaking, right? It's number one fear. I think it's higher than death in the world, right? You have eimat hatzibur, maybe a natural psychological thing. But here, even if it's not, even if the king is the most powerful person in the land, power of life and death, he could, you know, whatever, still he has a chiyuv to show fear and respect for the community, and he calls the Klal Yisrael Echav Re'av, and he stands up for them. Okay? You have to have kavod for the community that are going to do a mitzvah. If you have a whole community that's going out to perform a funeral, to Menachem Avel, or to go to a wedding, there's also a concept covered for the tzibur. Shemitzvah lechaber et harabim basutam mitzvah, mitzvah derabbanan. Starting to see the pattern? Yirat HaTzibur stems from the fear of God. Wherever you have, you know, from Pirkei Avot, wherever you have a Tzibur, there you have the Shechina, the Divine Presence. And they have a very great reward. There is so much here on this topic. We can go into this topic at great length, and I might want to do a little more about this next time, because I think it's an area where people may be more familiar with Kibbutz Avaim and even Kibbutz Amet, but less so with Kibbutz HaTzibur. And Kibbutz HaTzibur covers other areas also. There's the concept, there may be a difference, but you have the Tzibur who's davening, the Tzibur is going to do a mitzvah. There's another entity called Klal Yisrael, which may even be a higher level. So that's the concept of dignity and respect for the community. I think everybody may see the theme already, that each one of these areas of Kavod stem from the requirement to have kavod for Hashem. I think just the breadth of this subject is fascinating, and it causes us to stop and think a little bit. That all of the kavod that I give to another person, to a community, to a mate, everything stems from the requirement for each of us to constantly be Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. And every person is B'Tzelem Elokim. If we keep that in mind, Yetzer Hashem, maybe we won't be as makpid on our kavod, but we'll be more makpid in other people's kavod. I'll end with one very brief anecdote, and we'll continue. I was planning on doing a different shiur next time, but this is too much to cover in one time. So Joshua Chaifetz, 1901 to 1987, a very famous American violinist. So there's a Gemara, which is almost the same, so maybe I'll start with the Gemara next time about Yeravam ben Nevat. But I always like to see these parallels between, if anybody knows the Gemara Yoram Yuvan, and not, I'll tell you it next time, but I'll tell you with this little anecdote. So Chaifetz often played his violin accompanied by Arthur Rubinstein on the piano, and Grigor, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Piotrgorsky on the cello. Although Chaifetz appreciated the music the trio produced, he was upset because Rubinstein got the top billing. Chaifetz once remarked, if the Almighty himself played the violin, the credits would still read Rubinstein, God, and Piotrgorsky in that order. But if we recognize that all of Kavod comes from Kavod Hashchina, okay, you know, we always know that it's God, Piotrgorsky and Rubinstein, and it doesn't matter all that much which one is first. For me, I have to have Kavod for the other people, but I have to be, it's so hard, it has to be, remember that the ultimate Kavod is from Hashem, and all Kavod comes from that, and maybe we'll be less makbid on our personal Kavod, but more makbid on the personal Kavod of everyone else, okay.